The opinions expressed on Inside the Black Box do not reflect those of WREK Radio or the Georgia Institute of Technology. Welcome to Inside the Black Box, a weekly program on science and technology, or as we like to think of it, science only funnier. I'm Pete Ludovitz, joined by my ever effervescent co-host, a man who on this New Year's Eve would like to wish all our listeners a happy 1111101101. 2009, for those of you that don't speak binary.
And I was very sincere about those, that sequence of ones and zeros. And that's heartfelt.
As you always are.
You can tell. You can tell.
All right. So today's show is a special year-end mm-hmm. episode, issue,
yes. right.
production, whatever we want to call it.
December 31st. You know, today's New Year's Eve.
So it's fitting. Thanks
it's
for reminding
fitting.
Me
yeah.
Of that.
Yeah.
And what we're going to try to do is recap some of the important science stories of the year, as well as all our shows when we began from, what was it, March 2nd is when we moved over here
really?
To WREK Atlanta from Radio Sandy Springs.
Okay.
What, you thought it was earlier?
Yeah, I was thinking it was, but okay.
Okay, but that first show, of course, was Einstein's Hair, Big Bangs, or Supernova with Annie Zangwill.
Mm-hmm.
Who talked about Einstein and some of the misnomers that
right.
people have about him and his life.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us in the studio today, of mm-hmm. course, are Father Time and Baby New Year.
All right.
Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you very much.
And that was Baby New Year.
That was Baby New Year.
Wondering.
Yes, Sonny, I remember the days when I would eat flies.
Okay, and that wasn't Bill. That was, in fact, Father Time, who's
yes.
obviously twisted in some way, shape, or form.
Right.
We do want to make a big shout-out to the guy that helped us get started. Of course, we're joined today by our ever-able engineer, Trent Altman.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's enthusiastic as always, right? You were thinking you could just, you know... So, well, wait a minute. Are you working today? Is this a work day for you?
Probably.
Programming software?
Yeah.
Yes, such is the life of the software program. Are you coming in today? I don't know. Will there be pizza there? Maybe.
Hey, if these computer guys don't write the new viruses that are going to infect all of us, then...
Yeah. Then who else is going to do
who
it,
who else
right?
is going to do it, yeah. That's right. A full-time job right there.
So, aside from the fact that for most of the year we've been joined by Trent Altman, we want to make a big shout-out to Brad Petrick, our first engineer... He was the former
general manager
of WRK here in Atlanta, who believed in us when most of the rest of the world thought Bill and I were retarded in some way, shape, or form. So thank you very much, Brad.
Yeah, we're now down to a 60% retarded level.
We've been upgraded.
Like approval rating.
All right,
yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, so do we want to start with some science in the news?
Why don't we?
All
you
right.
want the new science in the news, or you want to?
Wait, why don't you give me the?
Stuff?
What do you, the, we have a calendar adjustment, correct?
Yeah, so they're calling it a leap second. So basically, they're saying that based on these atomic clocks, which is bizarro technology, based on a nuclear or atomic transition of cesium.
Mm-hmm.
That supposedly is incredibly accurate. They're saying that we need to basically add a second because the rather slightly irregular orbit around the sun is actually slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we're slowing down, that's the reason that, I mean, I got called obese by a nutritionist. So I'm trying to lose some weight. So that we won't be slowing down quite so much.
All right. So what's the deal? Do we add a second or lose a second?
Well, we've got to. Let's see. We got to add it.
All right. So it's like fall back. So
yeah.
So I'm like, woohoo! We get
yeah,
an extra
yeah,
second.
Yeah, one second. What are you going to do with your extra second?
Have
sex?
Party like it's 1999.
Okay.
Again, we're falling into the depths of depravity. Already.
Sorry.
I mean, it's a science
I'm just
show.
Asking.
We're not talking about biology.
That's very scientific.
Of course, that was our second show actually
mm-hmm.
on March 9th. Oh, and that's back when we were on Sunday, right? Didn't we start out in the
mm-hmm.
Sunday time
slot? I think
slot?
So, yes. I think we did.
So we should be celebrating this year the mm-hmm. fact that we've been upgraded mm-hmm. to the Wednesday time slot.
Right.
Don't
yes.
have to come in on Sunday.
Yep.
But our second show was The Birds and the Bees, without
mm-hmm.
the birds.
Right.
Professor Michael Goodisman, who talked about the nature of social insects. That was a
mm-hmm.
spicy show.
That was. That
all right.
was.
So in fact, your cheap sexual reference was quite relevant. So I'm getting segues to all the
yes.
old shows. We're going to try
right,
to go
yeah,
through
yeah.
all of them.
Right.
Before we get out of there.
Right.
Any more science in the news?
Well, it was, one thing is, I'm kind of hopeful with Obama putting science back on the front burner as opposed to the back burner, that we're going to have more funding for science. NASA looks to increase its budget. There's a new rocket that they're going to start using when they phase out the space shuttle, and hopefully it'll be able to go a lot further.
Right, more efficiently, as I understand it.
And then there was something also in the International Herald Tribune about genetic tests that are offering the promise of personalized medicine. You know, one example is given as a woman that was taking a drug to prevent the recurrence of breast cancer, and turns out the drug's not going to do her this particular woman any good because of her genetic makeup. My problem is still with this is that the insurance companies are going to hold it against you what your genetic makeup is. So until we get the issues fixed with the insurance company, a lot of this science is just not really going to have an impact on our lives.
Right, so that's an important topic. Mm-hmm. Regulation and science.
Yeah.
One of the things we hope to go over, in addition to all the shows we covered this past year, are the top five science stories from the January 2009 issue of Discover magazine. And with regard to regulation and its importance in the world of science, the number three story is the FDA tackling tainted drugs from China.
Mm-hmm.
And it does kind of remind you that regulation can work in both directions, right?
What do you mean by taint or tainted?
Tainted as in, you know, impurities, right? I mean, we make fun of the FDA, right? And the FDA mm-hmm. is a formidable obstacle of constraints, a veritable labyrinth of regulations.
Mm-hmm.
But it does, in fact, you know, prevent us from, you know, getting a lot of things messed up in our drugs.
I'm not sure exactly when it was founded, but the writer Upton Sinclair wrote this book called The Jungle back in the teens or 20s. It was about the meatpacking industry in Chicago, and it caused enough furor to people start looking in what are the regulations associated with meatpacking and food and this sort of thing. And so we had, there's been an evolution of these regulatory oversights over a period of a long time, and there was a good reason to have those.
Right, and we often think of them as detrimental until
something like
the thalidomide incident or this issue with
drugs and so part of what seems to have happened over the last few years is I don't know if these people are asleep at the switch, but we're getting a lot of counterfeit drugs that are coming in. So when some of these pharmaceutical companies kind of shift things overseas, then for some reason or other, it's getting outside the bounds of regulatory oversight.
Which, in fact, we did cover, counterfeit drugs.
Yes.
That was back when we were in Radio City Springs, though, right?
Facundo Fernandez.
Yes, your good friend, Facundo Fernandez, who actually uses analytical chemistry techniques to figure out whether or not something is is counterfeit or not.
Right.
The third show we did...
So there won't be tainted.
In 2008 was Chemistry and Why We Hate It with Lauren Williams about, you know, teaching chemistry, why people don't like chemistry. Baby Knew Your Father Time, thoughts on chemistry? You guys big fans of chemistry? You'd think so.
No.
No? No, not big fans of chemistry?
I love chemistry, especially when applying it to others.
Okay, so Father Time, apparently been drinking this morning, so a big fan of,
it's sort of
the chemistry of ethyl alcohol.
It's the heavy metal Father Time. It's been a rough year.
So this is cadmium poisoning.
Yes.
And Trent is always... Okay, what are we? A few minutes into the show, you're already yawning.
I just woke up, man. Give me a break.
Oh, okay. All right, so...
he's a computer science guy.
You're the engineer.
He's making
for this
good
fiasco.
Use of his second. You know?
Extra sleep.
He's not going to put that extra second to waste, man. You and me.
All right. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, this is a live show, despite the fact there's nobody else here at the Georgia Institute of Technology.
Right.
Where's everyone gone? Why aren't we in
there? Well, they're watching the Shriners Parade. We almost ran over on the way over here. The you know, I had to pick up Father Time and Baby New Year at the hotel that we're putting, you know, we put these folks up.
Oh, okay. And they're at the W, correct?
The guests come in from out of town. Yeah, they're at the Westin. and so we almost ran over the little car with the Shriners in it.
So, and then this is the most unbelievable segue I've ever done. I wonder, what was the parade for? Was it a New Year's parade or was it the Chick-fil-A Bowl parade maybe?
I think the Shriners, just their wives kick them out of the house. And so they start driving around. Wouldn't you, if you were married or a Shriner, wouldn't you get this guy out of your house and maybe hope you'd be driving in the little car and get run over?
As soon as he puts the fez on, it's time to go.
Yeah, you would think so, yeah. I would think if once the dude starts walking around the house with the fez, it's time for him to get out and start driving around right. in traffic in that little low car that people can't see you. So people in SUVs are just smashing.
But you don't drive an SUV. You're more environmentally conscious.
Yeah, though. Yeah, I'm much more so. But you know, now you've got these hybrid Shriner cars.
Oh, do they?
I don't know if you knew that. Yeah, yeah.
And these are what, hydrogen powered
with
as well
combustible
as...
batteries, yeah. So the whole you can have the whole Shriner, and it sort of becomes a shrine all by itself.
But the issue is that if it was in fact the Chick-fil-A Bowl is today, right?
It is.
Right. Do we know what time it is? I'm sure 7:30 tonight. Is WREK going to be covering? All right.
Yeah,
excellent.
Maybe. Yes.
All right. So now the interesting thing about that is our very next guest next week, mm-hmm. the first guest of the new year, will of course be Dan Radakovich, mm-hmm. the athletic director for Georgia Institute of Technology, mm-hmm. Talking about the issues in mm-hmm. maintaining a first-class NCAA sports program mm-hmm. along with a first-class science and engineering
right.
institution.
Right.
And I the first thing I'm going to thank him mm-hmm. for is the fact that he... Did you get this email? He sent me an email telling me that I can get upper deck seats for the Chick-fil-A Bowl for only $60.
Wow.
Apparently that's a special deal
just for
the faculty. Yeah.
Well, notice that they don't want us close to the field where people can actually see us or that the TV would actually... You know,
yeah, this is like faculty staff appreciation night where you sit in the upper deck of the
right,
new North End Zone.
Right, and if they want to just shove us over the back of the dome out into the traffic.
No, and in case Dan's listening, I don't want to frighten him. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be picking on him. We legitimately mm-hmm. want to explore issues.
It's difficult.
You know, how do you do that?
Well, the time constraints of being an athlete. It's you look at some of the discussions of this, like with baseball players. I don't know how they get out of college.
Well, here's the thing, though. You have to take a full load, and with the mm-hmm. practice schedule of the big sports, mm-hmm. it's hard for a good student to do it,
right.
let alone someone that barely made it with that minimum, 600 on their SAT, something like that?
Yeah, and they look at graduation rates and, graduation rate over. But, I mean, I think what's the average for tech students? 5 years, not 4 years?
No, but it has to be 5 years. Even the United States military has said that we are a 5-year program. When you have to take all that extra military science. Joining us for that show will also be an NCAA diver, Stephanie England, who in mm-hmm. her alter ego is a chemical engineering student.
She's not actually going to dive
unless you put up a scaffold or something.
Yeah,
but no, she was an all ACC conference diver. Very,
okay.
very good.
Okay.
But she's taking 5 years, and she's an excellent student. And good students
typically take
that amount of time.
Right.
The guys that graduate very quickly just go over the summer a
mm-hmm.
lot. So,
right.
But it is a tough thing, and that's something that we're going to be looking at. Just a reminder, right. this is a live show, despite the fact that nobody's here at Georgia Tech. So if you do have a question or comment about shows we covered in the last year, shows mm-hmm. we're going to cover.
Or shows they would like for us to cover.
Yeah, for example, we did get a call a while back about mm-hmm. Biotechnology, mm-hmm. and I am in email communication with Larry McIntyre, mm-hmm. Chairman of the Department of Biomedical Engineering here mm-hmm. at Georgia Tech, to try to get him or one of his colleagues to mm-hmm. talk about biotechnology.
Right.
But once again, we are a live show, so if you do have a question or comment, give us a call here at the studio at 404-894-2468. Once
and
again, that number is 404-894-2468.
And 2468 is all even numbers.
And there is some significance to this.
I'm just pointing it out, man.
This is
I see the math. You know, and I just sort of go with it. So.
Okay, so it all started with that binary joke.
It did.
This morning.
You started it.
Okay, all right. All right, so Father Time and Baby New Year have been conspicuously quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Any comments about this year's the science this past year, gentlemen?
Any science that
I mean, you guys can chime
year.
In, despite the fact that Bill and his overuse of hair gel may be frightening to you.
Yes, yes it is. Yes, it is.
Well, there was that one time when we had an experiment. You see, we took this chicken and we put him on a roof. And we got a big rope, and we pulled it tight until he was strangled.
Once again, experiments with alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes.
I'm just leaving it at that. Right?
Okay.
Our motto is science only funnier.
Right.
Okay, maybe not so funny this morning, but we're
How
trying.
How about science only frightening?
Frightening, funny.
Frightening,
they're very similar emotional responses.
They both start with an F.
Sorry. All right.
Go ahead.
All right, let me go back to the top five mm-hmm. stories from January's issue of Discover magazine. Number five, nation state claims to a melting Arctic. Global warming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was probably a really big story
mm-hmm.
here. And I am prompted, like most of you, when I hear this story, to talk about clean coal technology. Basically, everyone's been making jokes about clean coal technology. And what you need to understand...
What is clean coal?
Well, that's the thing. It's a misnomer. Clean coal technology is something that was coined, you know, well over a decade ago, before we really understood the ramifications of global warming.
Mm-hmm.
So coal is a bunch of carbon with some hydrogen and some other gunk mix in there as well. It's not that much different than oil, right, in its basic composition, right?
Okay.
It has, you know, some of it has more sulfur in it, and that's a big issue for clean coal technology. But you've heard of light sweet crude, which, by the way, is not something you put on your pancakes. It always sounds that way, doesn't it? That's usually something that has less sulfur in it.
Yeah, crude, crude would be your sense of humor.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed it was. So clean coal technology was really a way of taking this nasty-to-handle solid that when you burn it, you get so much particulate pollution, right? Just the coal dust itself gets over everywhere. It tends to be a little electrostatically charged. So if you've ever worked with coal dust, it just goes whoosh and sticks to everything. Then when you burn it, because it's this very hard amorphous solid, you very rarely get the complete combustion that auto manufacturers like to talk about, right? In theory, if you burn pure hydrocarbons, you get water and carbon dioxide. Now, years ago, before we had these finely tuned engines, now you get mainly water and carbon dioxide, which is about as clean as any fossil fuel is going to get. Now we worry about the fact that carbon dioxide and the water, believe it or not, are both greenhouse gases. So we worry about that sort of thing. But until we worried about global warming, that was the best you could do.
Is it okay to say bull? We'll talk about it. We'll get into the...
CO2
is not a greenhouse. Give me a break. Anyway,
CO2 is not a greenhouse gas?
I'll get into this.
Oh, so you're not a big fan? So we're talking about whether
samples. We'll get into that later.
Okay, so that's a totally separate issue. But regardless of that, if we're not worried about global warming, coal tends to undergo incomplete combustion. So you get a lot of carbony stuff. That's the technical word. It's carbons double bonded to other carbons.
Break it down for the non-chemist. So when something that's a hydrocarbon means it's got carbons and hydrogen.
And hydrogen, that's it.
And nothing else. No oxygen.
Right, if it's got oxygens in it, then you're talking about biomass.
Okay.
So we burn carbohydrates.
Okay,
right?
So they just carbon and hydrogen. And so when it burns, it releases energy, and you can use that energy to heat gas.
Right, power a vehicle.
In pistons to power a vehicle, or to convert water to steam.
Right.
So you can convert it to electricity, and there are efficiency issues
in
all of this. And a lot of things always, you know, whether or not something is a viable technology, a lot of it's an economic issue. So whether or not it's worth getting the oil from the oil sands in Alberta, it really hinges on the price of a barrel of oil, for example.
Right. And you have a lot of extra steps and a lot of energy to convert coal to a liquid or gas that you can put in a vehicle.
Right.
But that technology, I mean, provided it's economically feasible, which it isn't right now because oil has dropped to a relatively low price.
Based on the speculators.
Right. It's keeping it from producing all this soot is what we mean by clean coal technology. So that's a very viable thing, and we have lots of coal. And literally 10 or 20 years ago, we were really excited about what we could do with all this coal. But now we're worried about global warming, which you sound like
I'm not bought into that. The other thing
Well, so you're into it. Why aren't you buying into
it? It's all based on the ice core samples, right?
Some degree,
The CO2 diffuses over many, many years, so we have no way of knowing what the CO2 in the atmosphere was 100,000 years ago.
So what Bill's doing for our listening audience, who's as riveted as Trent is right now, he's making these faces like, what are we doing here? You're questioning the interpretation of the experiment. That's a legitimate...
I just don't think, you know... Correlation is one thing, cause and effect is a different thing.
And we're not sure we have the cause and effect down.
Yeah,
correlation,
I'm not sure.
A lot of evidence for the correlation.
But I guess
that's the problem. And we talked about this a little bit when Larry Bottomley was here about a month ago in analytical chemistry. The world is not like CSI, ladies and gentlemen. You don't put something in, turn a button on a machine, it goes ding, and it tells you exactly how much strychnine or blood or whatever is present.
Right.
Lots of things interfere. And Larry, in fact, pointed out that when you're, say, treating sewage, Mm-hmm. You can't just measure one thing. You need to separate these things. If you only have a few things in a sample, you can put a pH meter in there mm-hmm. or some ion selective electrode and just find it.
Right.
Same thing with what Haskell Beckham was talking about. If you're only looking at sweat in athletic clothing, mm-hmm. the signal that you get from your magnetic resonance imaging device is mainly water. You know, that's basically, there's mm-hmm. very little interference. But it gets pretty messy. And you make mm-hmm. a good point that we don't think of gases as diffusing through a solid,
but they do. Yeah, and
absolutely.
In the semiconductor industry, you know, that's how the devices get made. Well, now it's more implants, but you've got the situation early on where you had the gas around the silicon crystal was boron, and so boron at an elevated temperature would mm-hmm. diffuse a certain distance into the crystal. Same thing works in the ice core samples. The CO2 doesn't just stay in one physical location. It moves.
Right, and we think of you put plastic wrap over something, right? Mm-hmm. Some kind of polyethylene or polyvinyl chloride.
Or hair gel over it.
Or polyethylene terephthalate, like this mm-hmm. Soda bottle I'm holding in my hand right mm-hmm. now, much to the chagrin of Trent. Hey, but at least I'm not eating pizza today. So.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever.
Everybody loves
hearing
that.
Can everyone hear me eating pizza?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've ruined the show for all of 2008.
Probably, yeah. That, you know.
But the CO2 diffuses out of this thing, and oxygen diffuses in.
Exactly.
Now, granted, it takes 12 weeks or so, but after a while,
And they have to take that into account when they figure out what's the packaging or bottle it's going to go in. What's the shelf life? You know, when do you have skunky beer and that kind of thing?
That's the technical term.
Skunky beer. Yeah, that's an acronym for something. I'm not sure what exactly.
And in fact, it's so bad with regard to oxygen diffusing through this solid polymer mm-hmm. that you rarely see the plastic beer bottle on shelves, right? The only place you see the plastic beer bottle is in stadiums. That's because the plastic beer bottle isn't just the polyester.
Oh, the plastic beer bottle, yes.
Yeah, what was it?
I was thinking Coke.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
It actually has a layer in the mm-hmm. middle of the plastic that absorbs and reacts with the oxygen.
Yeah.
And the problem is you can't recycle that in a normal bin, so they have that single point of collection at stadiums.
Uh-huh.
Well, have you been to Turner Field or
Falcon
something like that?
Falcon season tickets this year, actually.
Yeah.
So that was also so people wouldn't throw them as much.
That's the other advantage, yeah.
Yeah.
So the breakdown of society and the law and order they're in is
right.
Sort of...
Yeah, the big fights.
Yeah, you're right. And that was the reason they wanted the plastic beer bottle, so no one would throw it at refs on the field.
Right.
Which is a sad
comment. Or if they do, it's not going to hurt as much as glass bottle.
Yeah, I have been hit by a plastic bottle.
The other thing, if people want to call up and recommend things we could do shows on for the next year, we could take those recommendations. And
I'm just
things we could look into.
I'm amazed.
The next year.
We've been here for most of 2008,
mm-hmm.
and at no time have the authorities been forced to intervene. So,
well, it's Trent's there, ready on the dump button when I might. My language might venture off into something unknown.
Just the fact that...
Cussing like Ted Williams.
No one's been taken into custody by the FCC.
Not as far as we know.
Okay. Okay, the number four story, Discover Magazine, the January 2009 issue, The Rise of Slime. And no, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not referring to the copious amounts of hair gel used by my co-host, Bill mm-hmm. Hunt.
You wonder where it goes when it goes down the drain, but go ahead.
All right, and it's simply a story talking about the... changing in the biology of the world's oceans,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's significant.
What is slime exactly?
Well, they're using slime. So these are creative titles. Really what mm-hmm. this is about is the fact that fish are becoming extinct, and what's taking hold is microbial life, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, oftentimes slime results from whether it's a plant or an animal mm-hmm. that sort of just grows out of control. And we saw that, of course, in the Olympics in China, right? The sailing venues had a lot of algae
out there. Yeah.
Right?
Now, so is it that the slime are killing the fish, or that the fish aren't around, there aren't enough fish around or smaller fish to eat the slime?
So
or,
generally, and this is something we really ought to do a
kids
show
aren't buying
on.
Enough slime anymore around Halloween?
You change a few dozen aspects of the biosphere, and boom, it has cascading effects.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be everything from the shows we've done on artificial coral, right, with mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember his name from biology, my good friend, but I haven't had nearly enough caffeine
to
this
draw
morning.
That out of memory.
You know, he talked about in Tahiti and those areas that mm-hmm. Rather than just snapping off pieces of the coral reef, what they do now is they actually grow new reef by putting lava rocks down.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to preserve that. So we've messed up the coral reef.
Mm-hmm.
We've messed up fishing by overfishing. We've mm-hmm. messed up fishing. For example, salmon fishing is all messed up simply because of our desire for hydroelectric power.
Huh. Huh?
Right? So in hydroelectric power...
Oh, the temperature is too high when they go back to spawn?
Well,
is that what you mean?
I think that's the human problem, mm-hmm. I think. Temperature
right.
too high.
Right.
That's actually the show we did about 3 weeks ago mm-hmm. when we talked to Mark Perlow from Georgia mm-hmm. Reproductive Specialist. Mm-hmm. We put those salmon ladders in so the salmons can go up around the dam, but they're not quite as effective as just the regular stream. So
hydroelectric power.
Yeah, hydroelectric power.
So they'll dam up some of these streams.
So we have messed up the oceans in so many ways. General pollution, overfishing, mm-hmm. hydroelectric power. And mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, hydroelectric power is a fine thing, produces electricity, it's mm-hmm. nice and renewable, but we need to sometimes think about additional ramifications.
Well, and also, there's kind of... whenever these things get discussed, it seems like and check me if you think I'm wrong, but the tendency is to try to say this is the problem, to isolate.
Oh, no, it's lots
just
of
overfishing,
yeah.
or it's the Swedes with their boats out there that, mm-hmm. Are factories, or it's global warming, or
right.
it's the melting of the ice cap, but it's a multiplicity of these things. But there's a tendency, maybe it's just in the media, to kind of come up and say, here's the one thing that's the problem, but it's a multiplicity of things.
But aren't we all guilty of that? I mean, even scientists want to say, look, here's the cause. You mentioned
right.
before about global warming.
Yeah.
You're not convinced of a causal effect.
Right.
Correlation, yes. Al
right.
Gore makes a very good mm-hmm. case for the correlation, mm-hmm. but is there a causal effect? Well, maybe, maybe not. Mm-hmm. I don't really know.
Yeah.
I mean, I tend to err on the more conservative side and see, well, what is the problem with reducing CO2 emissions? It's not going to mm-hmm. hurt us. Might help us.
Well, economically, it may close off
right.
a variety of industries. And then the other thing right. with regard to the PR, with regard to the public, if we try to scare the bejesus out of people into saying, oh, you've got to quit doing this, that, and the other, and then it doesn't solve the problem, then where are you? Then
and
they
as,
lose faith in science.
And as a, well,
bejesus
yeah, people have
a,
love. I was going to ask you to define
word.
Bejesus because
yeah.
we do, in fact, like to.
Not to be confused in. With see Jesus.
Okay. Okay.
There's the A Jesus, B Jesus, C
oh,
Jesus.
Oh, I see. There's
Jesus,
a plethora
of Jesuses. Yes,
Jesus. All right. So I don't know where we're going now, but it's
yeah.
probably time we take a break, isn't it?
Sure.
Right? Before, in fact, mm-hmm. the authorities intervene. Once again, this is a live show, so if you have a comment or question for us here at Inside the Black Box, give us a call at 404-894-2468. We'll be right back after this quick break here on WREK Atlanta.
Don't harsh my buzz. Are you tired of having your buzz harshed? No worries, you won't get that here on 5446. We play some serious roots reggae, the most crucial dub, and the skankinest hits we can find. We do it every Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Join Tim and Eugene as we explore the roots of reggae, pulling out some familiar sounds as well as some hidden treasures. Again, that's 5446, every Thursday night from 8 to 9 p.m., exclusively on WREK Atlanta. Are you tired of life? Do you need to space out? Just need some time to forget about the world. Listen to Atmospherics every Monday through Thursday from 12 to 1:30 a.m. on WREK Atlanta.
I grew up in an all-white neighborhood.
I grew up in a diverse neighborhood.
Everyone I knew was just like me.
Brought something different to the party.
They looked like me, thought like me, acted like me. So my neighborhood always stayed the same.
They introduced me to different tastes, different ideas, and different ways of doing things. So my neighborhood always got more interesting.
They definitely helped shape the way I look at things.
And they prepared me for the future.
They did?
They did.
A neighborhood rich in diversity can leave its inhabitants better off and more able to succeed in the global community we and our children will face in the years to come. To better understand the full range of benefits offered by neighborhood diversity, please log on to aricherlife.org. That's www.aricherlife.org.
I want my kids to live a richer life.
A message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act.
Welcome back to Inside the Black Box, where we're doing our 2008 year-end wrap-up show. One of the things we're counting down today is...
We're also working on, 2008, the musical.
Really? Will that be released shortly?
Shortly, yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Will there...
2008.
Trent, musical. You're going to be in the music video. You don't know that yet.
Yeah. Do you know that there's actually not? I'm sure this has a tie with science somehow. There's a Sarah Palin calendar that you can buy.
Do I even want to ask you about this? And it's all about what, science and technology in the year 2008, narrated by Sarah Palin.
Well, she's carrying a gun, and which gets into ballistics and gunpowder. So that's scientific.
I remember buying that calendar. It was annoying. Because it kept saying stuff like okey-dokey-doo.
Thank you, Father Time.
Yeah, the electronic,
Time.
Yeah.
For those of you just joining us, Father Time and Baby New Year are here in the studio.
You know, the closer you get to midnight, the more senile Father Time gets, because he's about to check out here in another 12 hours.
Well, 2008 is very senile because, Alberto Gonzalez, I do not recall. You know, that's kind of an example of 2008 being senile.
Yeah.
Yeah, yet again, ladies and gentlemen, another example of how science and engineering does not exist in a vacuum.
Right.
I mean, have we had our share of...
It does exist in a vacuum cleaner, though.
Indeed it does.
Yeah, but not in a vacuum.
But it doesn't. I mean, have we had our share of controversial issues with regard to politics this year? I mean, I mean, we covered a lot of them back when we were on Radio Sandy Springs.
Right.
We did have, Jeff Selman... Mm-hmm. Plaintiff in the lawsuit against those scary warning stickers on the textbooks up in Cobb County,
right.
Georgia, we had warning against that newfangled theory.
Yeah, well,
evolution.
This year we had Bernie Ellis on from
evolution is unrealistic because people like Bush are still alive. People are getting stupider. Evolution is failing.
Well,
so evolution is wrong.
You should like that one, Bill.
Speaking of Bush, you know. Is everybody happy to get rid of the guy?
Seriously. I think so.
The science community in general was not a fan of his policies.
No.
Mm-mm.
No, I think the question is whether or not he will realize that he's no longer in office, that, you know, how long it'll take him to pick up on the hint that he's not going to be there anymore.
You don't think he'll realize it?
No. I think it'll be like Abraham Lincoln's widow. They had to, like, haul her out of there, you know, just drop little hints like, the United Van Lines. Pulling up to the White House to get her stuff out of there.
Well,
after
okay.
He had been assassinated.
This is and we did cover at one point during the year the Democratic versus the Republican mm-hmm. platforms and their mm-hmm. view on science. The Democratic platform mm-hmm. much more sympathetic to science.
The right. donkey has gotten back on top of the elephant.
Always, Father Time okay. with the cheesy innuendo. There is it.
Yes.
Does he get dirty and dirtier as we get near midnight?
It's near midnight, it gets worse.
Trent's
worse.
Got his hand on the dump button as we speak. But here's the deal, right? So as much as, you know, Bill and I, you know, have been more fans of the progressives' policies on this issue, will they do any better, right? Because now they're in office.
They're trying. I mean,
I think there are real economic constraints.
Yeah. Well, I think Obama, I must say as a lifelong independent, more or less, I'm very impressed with the selections that Obama has been making for these different posts.
You mean choosing a Nobel laureate as the head of the Department of Energy?
For example,
as opposed to
choosing people who are his friends and like horses.
Are you saying he can't like the Nobel laureate?
Oh, no, we're saying that's a good choice.
No, but I'm saying he can't be friends with a Nobel laureate.
No, I'm just saying he's not picking people just because...
He's not picking politicians.
No,
picking people just because they won't say anything bad about him, which is the main requirement for Bush.
Okay, so actually, I'm going to skip ahead then,
okay.
Right? Because this is very relevant. The number one.
Did we
story,
cover the slime? I mean, I'm.
Well, we talked about.
We did talk about slime.
Should we not buy slime? What was the conclusion on slime?
Okay, this is what happens when journalism meets science. You get writers trying to come up with a catchy title for it.
Yeah.
It was really about the imbalance in the biology of the oceans and how microbes may be taking over. That's what they meant
not
by
your
slime.
Crows,
and by slime,
microbes,
you mean the child's toy made out of an aqueous solution of polyethylene glycol? No, polyvinyl alcohol.
Thank you for picking up so swiftly on the reference.
Lightly cross-linked with, sodium tetraborate?
Now you're talking dirty to me, but go ahead.
All right. Well, that's, slime. Mm-hmm. That's what in the Disney shows they pour on people's head. Can I say Disney shows? I'm talking about the science of it.
The science of Disney.
You said Disney a bunch now, so.
Yet another sign of the failure of the evolution of man. They pour slime on people when they could be making a great meal for a poor starving boy.
Or a poor starving old man, like
right
time.
Exactly.
No, that's a very good point. Let me just say this. I had an interesting experience with regard to science and society yesterday. I'm in the bookstore, and I won't mention which bookstore because apparently that may be some sort of commercial call to action.
Right.
Go
to your bookstore and
I think
buy
this
something
is a generic phenomenon. Mm-hmm. You go to any major bookstore, not some,
Independent
one run by some hippie freak in Decatur.
Like Wordsmiths, where the improv group Duck performs, for example.
Right. No, you're not pushing Wordsmith. You're just talking about this nice community program.
Yeah,
right, okay.
Right.
So I'm in there looking for the Urine Science Discover magazine, which we wanted to use for some talking points. That's what I've got right in front of me now. And I'm looking for the magazine. If you want to see evidence of the downfall of mankind, or humankind, I should say that, because we did a couple shows already about women in science and engineering. Mm-hmm. Humankind, just go to the magazine section of your local bookstore. Mm-hmm. It is frightening. I mean, you find a smattering of things on health, politics, and technology, but the rest is on just crapola. Can I say crapola in here?
Well, once again, you've already said it. So.
Oh, okay.
That's an Italian word.
That doesn't make it right?
No.
All right, Father Tom appears to have a comment.
He has a good point about it. All that's in the newspaper and the magazines today is stuff about how to clean your toenails with your eyeglass.
Okay, that's even worse than what I saw in the magazine.
What did you see, by the way?
What do you mean, what did I see? What kind of magazines?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I
specifically,
under travel, I
Cosmo
saw a magazine
some really useful information.
Cosmo's actually the better ones, right? Because it makes me understand why I don't understand women and my wife hates me. Mm-hmm. But there was a magazine called Cowboys
and
Indians.
What's your conclusion? Is just you?
Cowboys and Indians, and it's all about the West, and it has half-naked women on the front like most of these things.
What is this, Cowboys and Indians?
There was one called Combat next to the Guns and Ammo.
Uh-huh.
I mean, do we really need a magazine like that?
Speaking of which, one of my Christmas presents will be coming in as a Southern magazine called Garden Gun.
You're kidding.
No.
This is a real
magazine. It's a real magazine. So it's like Southern living for poor white trash, which deep down inside I am. So I'll give you
a
report on that later.
There's so many things wrong with that statement.
If you've got like a, if you live... if you look at the Jeff Foxworthy redneck things to say, that's a good way to live,
right?
Then this would be a magazine for you.
Okay. But I mean, no, I understand why you'd want a magazine on guns, gun safety, gun reliability. Mm-hmm. If you own
gardening gun.
Rifles for hunting or a handgun for personal protection, I understand that. But they're going overboard.
Yeah.
I remember the days when guns were a luxury. We used to use them to clean off our tonsils and eat pizza.
Okay, that explains a lot about Father Time and the approaching senility,
call it? Yeah,
my senility becomes me.
Indeed it does,
Indeed
Father
it does,
Time.
Sir,
but at least I get a second of my life back.
Thanks to Bill for reminding us.
Yes, all right.
All right, now we skip the number two. We'll come back to the number one story. The number two story, physicists launch search for the God particle. I never understood all these articles written on the God particle. Mm-hmm. Really what it's
now,
about.
Now, the Godfather of particles,
that would be James Brown.
James Brownian
motion. He doubled as the Godfather
of
soul.
The James Brownian motion.
And of particles every time he visited Fermilab.
Brownian motion, James Brownian.
Actually, what the article is about is the new Large Hadron Collider.
The motion is to get on up.
Get on up. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
It's, I'm not even going to touch that one.
Yeah,
it's a Jefferson's reference? I'm not sure.
It's a James Brown reference.
Yeah.
Oh, get on up. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Shall we?
Thank you, Trent. Take another sip of my caffeine.
Bottle time's not the only thing that's getting senile.
Well put, Baby New Year. Well, actually, this article is about the CERN Accelerator, the Large Hadron Collider.
Right.
And of course,
they have their own rap song.
They do, and I think it's still on our website. It certainly was on there when we had Eric Prebis from Fermilab talking about the difference between hadrons and leptons, which I'm sure all our listeners remember from that show.
I don't even remember.
But he pointed out something very important, that for those of you that question the value of trying to understand the fundamental particle reactions that occurred during the Big Bang by spending, what did we spend, something like $8 billion plus?
$9 billion.
Yeah. Right.
Right. And he said,
put that in perspective for us, Bill.
To put it in perspective, $9 billion is equal to the amount of unused gift cards in the United States. So if you, like, bought some Christmas cards and didn't send them out, if there were a way we could convert those into...
Well, you mean gift cards, though. You know, you buy the $25 for some store.
Yeah, that Christmas cards, gift cards, the whole deal. Yeah. So the ones you've got in your drawer at home, we could buy a super collider.
There you go.
With those cards.
Right. So I actually think in the grand scheme of things, that was money well spent. But I was about to mention
what, unused gift cards?
No, the Large Hadron Collider,
okay.
Right?
All right.
And they're not quite at full bore on the CERN Collider yet.
Is it not?
They're still doing a lot of tests. They've run experiments.
Did it get through? Hold it. So it was held up because people were afraid that there would be a black hole opening up there.
No, I don't think that delayed the opening.
No, but didn't they have some legal action?
There was. There was a suit filed that we were worried we would create a black hole and suck all of Switzerland into it. And I used to live in Switzerland, so I'm questioning whether or not that's a good or a bad thing.
There's a black hole in my mind and a black hole taking away the money from damn Swiss.
So I was actually just in Switzerland. We're probably going to get... Well, I'm sure we have listeners in Switzerland.
I'm almost certain.
And let me just say, Switzerland, I used to live in Zurich, wonderful, wonderful nation. We're just joking. Mm-hmm. And that's just a reminder, because many of the Swiss did have their sense of humor surgically removed.
My one complaint, though, I was there once, and the food port, I lost 10 pounds in a week, and I ate meals every time, but they just don't give you very much food compared to the American portions.
Well, I think that's Europe in general.
Oh, it's like I.
That's why you were called obese by your practitioner, medical practitioner.
Yeah, she didn't even say like you're chubby, need to lose a few lbs. She just said you're obese,
and you took offense at that.
I did, and I've lost 13 pounds since then. But I'm
well,
still.
Well, congratulations!
Is there a bell?
Excellent.
To ring?
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. You get no bell.
Yeah, no bell for that.
I don't know. But the, the number two story, basically the Large Hadron Collider in CERN. And if you haven't heard it, check out the rap song that they wrote.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of the rap song?
I forget what it was called.
Wasn't it just like CERN rap or something like that?
Something like that. CERN can check it. There's a video that goes with it as well.
Or Saran rap.
The number one story is the post-oil era begins.
Okay.
So apparently that was the most covered story, according to Discover Magazine, in 2008. Mm-hmm. Comments on that? I mean, do you think that was the biggest story?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we really should. And we've got another engineer in the studio. What's your name? He's not saying what he has.
He's not going to admit knowing this.
A man with no name in the studio. Looking at these different energy conversion things that are out there, but, you know, the biggest fundamental or a big fundamental problem with the whole structure is the speculators are the one that drove it. Wasn't supply and demand, it was speculators that drove up the cost of a barrel of oil, and going from $150 a barrel down to 38 or whatever it is now means that people aren't going to invest in alternative approaches, and it was all, you know, just speculators.
Well, I mean, it was a little bit of supply and demand, and supply and demand eventually will kick in. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, that's going to be...
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, if it's overridden by something that's very transitory, like speculation, then it's hard to figure out what the real problem is and how much we have left and, you know, all these issues.
Right. And to that end, I mean, what it also points out is, you know, finances. We took a crack at finances. Who was the guest we had in?
Professor Willie Belton.
Right, who talked about these lovely packaging of securities based on poorly underwritten mortgages. And I learned what commercial paper was. I thought that was actually impressive.
Yeah, I for once finally sort of understood what was going on with having him on there. We'll have to have him when the economy starts picking back up.
So again, an illustration of how science does not exist in a vacuum. Even my friends at large major oil companies, who I shall not name, pointed out that speculation was a big part of the fluctuation in the price. We have markets in the Middle East, some of which are in Dubai, that are very, very free. Don't quite have the same rules we have for commodities and securities trading here. But they're labeled as trusted markets. And people, and not necessarily from the Middle East, not necessarily from the United States, from all over the world, can in fact manipulate that.
But see, you know, throughout the U.S. history, there are plenty of times where it was clear that land speculation, in this case oil speculation, it certainly perturbs things to the point where the long-term vision can't be seen anymore.
You know? So what do you mean, the long-term technical vision?
Yeah. So what do you do to solve this problem? And you find out, well, it's not a problem where the economic drivers aren't really there anymore. Mm-hmm. Then it just sort of, can I say, hoses things up?
Yeah, I think you can.
I think I just did.
And I think that's a real problem. The problem is that, are you saying, Bill, that science gets obscured by the social, political ramifications?
Well, it's all part of a thing, right? So the government's not going to go invest in, what's a crazy thing we might get energy out of?
A senile old man.
Yeah, like, okay, let's say we're going to do a bioremediation of this, of father...
time. Recycle them every year. Turn them into biomass.
We're going to recycle father time. You know, if it's not economically feasible, then you don't do it. If it costs more, you know, then it just doesn't make sense anymore. And I sorry, I don't know the history, but I know that, you know, Nazi Germany had kind of was getting shut off from petroleum supplies. They didn't have their own.
Yeah.
So they had gasification of coal.
Right, exactly, via the calcium carbide.
At some point, I guess it wasn't economically feasible based on what the price of a barrel of oil is. So there was technology there that could have been evolving all these years for coal gasification.
Right.
You know, but at some point, it no longer becomes a valid approach economically.
Right. But if oil gets expensive enough, turning coal into acetylene and then turning that into hydrocarbons and polymers and things like that might.
If it's all driven by the speculation, though, you know, you can't get an energy policy in place and people working on it, and then 6 months later, there's no reason to do it economically.
Well, to that end, I guess I'm going to recommend some of the writings of Robert Proctor, who I believe is actually a professor of the history of science at Stanford University.
He's not a proctorologist?
No. That would be a totally different branch of science.
He stole my line.
Sorry.
The
about
old
that.
Guy always likes the proctrology joke.
I experience it on a yearly basis.
As we all should, right? Bill and I are up in age. And that reminds me, actually, we did do a show on that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, actually, I've seen you wearing that Izod shirt that instead of a little alligator, it's got just a rubber glove.
They make those?
They make those. Go ahead.
You know I'd buy one. If
I know
in fact
you would.
They did.
I know you'd want.
Alan Tannenbaum, who actually talked about using advanced mathematical techniques for interpreting the medical imaging data that comes back from magnetic resonance imaging. We did a couple shows on magnetic resonance imaging.
Right, and that's not just magnetic resonance imaging of anything, but actually colonoscopies.
Right. So, in fact, he talked about something called a colon fly-through. I know you wanted to talk about that, Bill. Imagine a visual roller coaster through
your
colon.
Imagine if you can.
In a world where one man's colon is your DVD entertainment for the weekend.
You can swim through the butts of a man over the age of 50.
Okay, all right.
And see what is inside.
All right, Father Time.
As disgusting as that was, it's actually what the show was about.
We need to take Father Time back to the home.
How did we get on that segue?
I don't know.
The proctorologist.
Sorry, you were talking about
I don't even remember what I was talking about.
You're talking about proctor.
Oh, yeah, sorry. He actually has written some recent articles. One of them is in Discover Magazine, but you can take a look at his writings in general. On the scourge of bad science that many industries create by fostering ignorance and manufacturing debt. I'm not going to go into the actual writing. This is something you might want to look at. Mm-hmm. This is an exercise for the listener. But that is a big issue, that people use science to their own ends, right?
So what do you mean? That companies will come out and say things?
Well, companies, governments, all sorts of places will take science. And let's face it, you mentioned it before when we were talking about global warming. Global warming is a complicated issue. You can make an argument that there is correlation between greenhouse gases and global warming. You can also make an argument that, okay, maybe there are other factors affecting that. You can argue about whether or not it's causal. I'm not even sure what the answer is. I think there really is a connection, But it's not absolute. There's lots of error in these experiments and interpretations.
And my problem is that, yes, there are problems and we need to solve them, but the rush to implement a solution before we know what the problem is not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay, but I mean, you know, here's the beauty of science, right? Mm-hmm. We can implement an interim solution to deal with the problem as we see it, and then we can change it. That's the beauty of science versus dogma.
But if you have something where it's a long path and you start off in the wrong direction on that path, and you know, I mean, yeah, there's somewhere between inaction and responding too quickly and doing the wrong thing.
Right, but you really believe that some basic minimal reduction in CO2 output is going to be a bad thing?
Well, only if it impacts the economics.
Right, but we haven't impacted the economics deleteriously yet. Right, a little extra taxes, pay a little more for your car.
The economy's great right now.
Yeah, but you have to put that in perspective, right? People aren't starving because of what we're trying to do.
No, it's because you've stopped buying pantyhose. That's why it's all
is
gone.
Is that it?
Well, that's what it is.
That's nylon, though. What does it have to do? Let me think. All right. Have you been drinking this morning? That's my question.
Only iced tea. Iced tea.
As always, right? I think the caffeine has soaked into your brain to the point where we're in serious problems.
But I mean, that's an interesting issue, though, is if we do need to do something, but just rushing and feeling like there's only one thing that's a problem, there's always a multiplicity of things.
Right, right. And that's the nature of complex systems.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
All right,
so let me see if I can... I'm out of order here. I don't know where the heck I was. Let me try and get my list in order here of shows that we did. I just keep jumping around. Oh, okay, so we talked about chemistry and why we hate it. We had Mark Weisberg on here on ripping off Mother Nature about... Yeah, we've claimed this as engineers before. If Mother Nature ever bothered to patent anything, we'd all be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That biologically inspired design is something that is coming to the forefront of science today.
When she had that divorce with me, she definitely took my stuff.
Again, TMI from Father Time.
Yeah,
is that official TMI?
Too much information from Father Time.
He's a long fight. Lasted about 500 years.
All right, is he coming to your New Year's party tonight?
He's going to be rocking down. Yeah, so is Baby New Year.
Uh-oh.
So we're going from the year of the chicken, but go ahead.
All right, next we talked about, we actually had some students from North Springs High School.
That's one
of whom is working in your lab now.
Right, and actually I'm going to be one of the judges at their science fair this year.
Mm.
I volunteered.
Oh, actually, so am I. That's in
really?
January, right?
Oh,
yeah,
man.
I did it last year.
Hey, are we going to take bribes?
No, I mean, you say that, so I know you're joking, but the audience doesn't know that you know
what the bribe is.
Exactly. Thank you, Father Time.
If it's iced tea, you're okay.
A lot of money, we'll consider it. If it's a small amount of money, I'm sorry, it's just my integrity is worth more than that.
All right, next on April 13th, we talked about plastics, and actually started with I wonder if that was a copyright violation. We actually played the thing from the movie The Graduate, where the guy goes, one word, plastics.
Right.
And then we were gone for a couple of weeks. Then we talked with James Goal about undergraduates and research.
Yeah, and he's done an excellent job. Yeah. He was the winner of the Undergraduate Research Mentor
And you, in fact, I've got a new undergraduate. I had some undergraduates last semester. I've got a new undergraduate coming on. Would you say, based on, who's your student from North Springs High School?
Sean. Yeah.
He's done a good job, hasn't he?
Excellent job.
Very bright guy.
Excellent job, yep.
All right, so where are we next?
You mind if since it's New Year's Eve, we talk about the future?
Yeah, so Baby New Year, any comments on the future of science and technology in 2009?
I certainly hope it's not senile like Grandfather Time yet.
Okay, always with the senile jokes. And he's pointing at me, ladies and gentlemen, in case you're
right.
Next, we talk about the scientific method, right? That was one of these shows where our guest probably canceled at the last moment. Scientific method, would you say that it's useful for the average person to understand the scientific method? I think that's what our message was.
Regardless of whether it's looking at some of these larger issues in politics or policy, it's good to kind of use the scientific method and think through the details of things.
Right, and it's something that people don't realize. Auto mechanics, electricians, plumbers, they use it every day. You postulate what might be wrong, you run a test that should show whether or not that's true, and then see what happens.
Right.
I just don't think the average person worries about it all that much.
Right.
Then we talked with Martha Gallivan about control theory. Control freaks of science and engineering.
Right.
And you know what I learned? I learned that negative feedback control is actually the more stable point.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's positive feedback. Right. Positive is a good thing, but it's the negative feedback.
Right, and it's when your sort of modification of the system and the system response are in opposite directions.
And we had the women in engineering somewhere along in there.
We did. After that, we talked to Julia Kubanek.
This is
our Sex in the City issue.
The rotifers,
these microorganisms that
they only have men when they need them, and they have no digestive tract.
They just exist to reproduce.
Yeah. I could live like that.
Yeah, you could until what do you got, like a 3-hour lifespan or something?
I lived like that once. It was fun.
Baby New Year is only going to last 365 days. What the heck? I think he does live like that.
So live life in the family.
By the end of the year, he's going to be like the senile coot next to him.
Maybe 365, you said.
All right, and so we started about 5 minutes late. Can we go to 5 after the hour?
We're going to just talk.
Okay.
Okay.
Trent's like, I don't care. I'm not responsible for this, and I will turn you into the FCC.
Okay.
All right. Our next show was Joel Linderman from the computer lab, the Georgia Tech Library.
Yeah.
Came in and talked to us about creative uses,
right. You
know, graphics and things like that with computers.
Right.
Next was Alvin Thaler from the National Science Foundation, talked about the importance of algebra and math.
Right.
We appreciate him coming on the show. Let's see. Next, we talked about engineers and what they do. And this is when we went over a report from the National Academy of Engineering on the public understanding of engineering. Mm-hmm. And it was not good, Bill.
No.
As I recall. No. I mean, basically, we're geeks. And we say things like, major in engineering if you're good in math and science,
right?
As opposed to engineering is actually cool. You do need interesting things in the application of science.
Yeah, and we also talked about the fact there have historically been engineers that maybe weren't so great at math, like Faraday in electromagnetics. Actually, didn't know calculus, even though that was and he was pretty much self-taught and worked in a lab.
Right, and so this is a useful thing.
He's one of the immortals, but he wasn't a great mathematician.
For people thinking about science and technology as a career, there will always be some point, right? Everyone, you know, you may be the smartest kid in your middle school or in your high school. Mm-hmm. There will come a time where you run into a wall. Very few people don't run into that wall.
Right.
You know, maybe Einstein and people like that. But eventually you'll go to graduate school somewhere and you'll meet some guy who's three times as smart as you and thinks in nine dimensions.
But if you work harder.
That's exactly it. But so with regard to things like math, it was actually one of the guests that we had on with our Nerd Girls episode that actually talked about the fact that and this is an issue with women, I think, that, you know, if they don't do particularly well in a math class or something like that, they think, well, okay, maybe I shouldn't go into engineering. But the truth is, you know, if you're an engineer or scientist, you're going to struggle with some concept sometimes.
Some
maybe it's math,
it.
Maybe it's science,
maybe it's
the
chemistry that you have to take even though you're in electrical engineering or whatever. Yeah.
And so let me say this for any young female engineers. Don't let that bother you. It doesn't let guys bother them. They're like, they sort of don't worry about it and just push on through. And I think that's a social issue. And that came up on the Women Engineering Show.
Right.
Let me get to that. What was it? The IEEE magazine actually had a big article in the Nerd Girls recently, just last month.
Really?
Somebody put it in my mailbox. I'm not sure where it came from, but
cool.
But that's really good. And of course, you guys are behind us. Chemical engineering, 35% to 45% women.
I know.
And what's the belief? 5? 10?
Oh, we're way down there. Yeah, it ain't what it used to be.
Now, is that you or?
I think it's just me. My personality. Okay. I run them off. Yeah.
0.009%.
It is not good, Father Time. I will agree with that. All right, where are we? Then we did science in the movies. You must have been out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And I just talked about science in the movies and how sometimes it's realistic, sometimes it's unrealistic.
Right.
Next, the science of cooking. Right? So, you know, you think about it. Phase transitions, you know, emulsion stabilization, right? Even fluid mechanics. If you ever use cornstarch to thicken up a sauce, which I know you're thinking about right now.
I am.
Let's see. So what was it? July 30th was next. Oh, that was a potpourri show. What does that mean? One of our guests canceled. And So the next show, August 6th, was Professor Karen Panetta, the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at Tufts University, who started the Nerd Girls Project. Mm-hmm. We had some audio issues, right, because we had two people phoning in.
I think I was in Vegas, so.
Yeah, you were in Vegas. Now, you were in Vegas at a software convention, though, right?
Yeah, something
like
that.
Like gambling.
Well, I mean, I was gambling, too, but.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we had the Welcome Back Bill show, because you were gone for part of the summer.
Right.
And then the gory details of technical innovation. Gordon McGregor, leader of New Business Development and Industrial Products Division at W.L. Gore, came in and talked to us about innovative environments for doing science and engineering. And I met him at a conference over the summer, and they're very open. They're
and
just kind of like, hey.
And I tried to wrangle that whole interview into
free guitar strings.
Free guitar strings.
Which
lectures,
is against our vision
but
here
somebody put
in community radio.
Quietus on that.
Well, I'm glad that Trent did, because it was blatant.
Why?
It was blatant commercialism.
I need guitar strings.
You were trying to advertise for life.
Right.
I'm a surrealistic senile old man.
And ladies and gentlemen, we don't serve alcohol in the studio. That is an FCC violation, is it?
I believe so.
It is. So
what?
We would never do that. He's just.
I would never do that.
Yeah, we're just talking about
it's a Georgia Tech violation. If it's
I would never do that. Ever.
Oh, yeah, it is. And I sign and read the Georgia Tech alcohol policy every year.
I think you do.
I do.
Oh, that. I thought you meant getting free guitar strings.
No, that's a violation of FCC policy.
Okay.
Don't ask me. That's a circuitous thing. We're not going to go into that.
All right. Okay.
All right. The, what was it? Where were we next? Oh, then we did a show on the politics of science because, again, I don't think our guest from the Weather Channel was ready. The next one. Was what was the next? Oh, the next one was September 10th. Victor Breedfeld came in and talked about complex fluids, about how paints and toothpaste are miracles of modern science.
And artists called in. We're very interested.
We learned people
that.
Like paint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We had a number of artists calling in. We appreciate
really
that.
Interesting.
And just understand that viscosity, the thickness of a fluid, the way a fluid behaves when you push it around.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a consumer product and you see all that weird stuff in it, everything from xanthan gum to carrageenan to polyethylene oxide or PEG 40, most of those are viscosity modifiers, right? So they keep the product.
That's really interesting. Yeah.
My wife, Mother Earth, behaves weirdly when you push her around, especially in the water parts.
Okay, I have no comment for that, Bill. Any question on that?
I think the correlation between what Father Tom is saying and anything else is really starting to fade as we get closer to midnight.
Yeah, and that show was called The Goo in Your Shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
Next was medical imaging, way beyond x-ray specs, where Alan Tannenbaum introduced us to the virtual colon fly-through.
Mm-hmm. Not personally. But.
No, not personally. No, but okay, here's the problem, though. We're scientists. It's a funny thing that they would take an MRI picture of your intestine, and you can go through it like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But we can't be embarrassed about talking about that. It's, it's important.
No,
technology.
Yeah, it was colon. It wasn't, we did the full thing. We didn't do a semicolon.
Ooh, good.
It's just a punctuation.
That's it. The Guinness Book of World Records is creating
a
new category for the most
pun.
Arcane
that's a delayed
science
pun
grammar reference
yes.
on the planet.
Right, yeah.
This can't be good.
It's a new category.
Mm. Next, September 24th, was Bruce Rose, Vice President of Weather Systems from the Weather Channel, came and talked to us about that. You know, it's more than just predicting the weather. Mm-hmm. It's really now handling all this data. And he has a background in both computer science and meteorology.
Right. And he said that it wasn't a... when we had that storm that ripped the top off the Georgia Dome during the
took
SEC
a lot of windows out of downtown.
That it was not... Atlanta. This does happen. So everybody's thinking, this is a government plot to tear up the city or something like that, a new weapon. It happens.
Did people actually say that?
Yeah.
Not in Decatur, though. I'm thinking up in Cobb County, where I live.
I'm not saying these are sane people, but, it was getting said. So,
well, he illustrated a very important scientific principle, and that's the scientific principle of sort of surface area, right? He pointed out that they happen with the same, frequency as they do on the plains of Kansas and Tornado Alley. It's just that cities make up a much smaller amount of our land area.
Right.
So they're bound to happen.
Well, I don't think we have as many tornadoes as Kansas, but just the point is that you just typically, it's a land area thing, not population.
Atlanta's
thing,
much smaller than the plains of Kansas or the Texas Panhandle.
And there are more trailer parks than there are big cities.
Right. And we're not going to talk about whether or not there's a correlation there.
Tornado show favoritism.
Well, that's basically what we're trying to debunk here, Father Tom.
Right.
Apparently, he's taking the old view, Baby New Year, much more progressive in his scientific view.
Tornadoes are evolutionary assistors. They're trying to fight modern medicine.
Well, I mean... I do have to agree with him. They do remove the slower people from the gene pool, so it works out.
And again, he's pointing to me, so I kind of resent that, Baby New Year. That's, that really hurts.
Yeah.
That gets me, where I live.
The truth does.
next was the Large Hadron Collider, and that was Eric Prebys from Fermi National Accelerator Lab, which, by the way, is the highest energy collider until CERN gets up and running.
Right.
So that was useful to know. We also talked about the fact you were surprised by this, Buffalo Grays on top of the accelerator ring.
I did. In Chicago, right there outside of
Yeah, it's kind of outside Chicago, but yeah.
Right.
So that was very interesting. Next, voting. Is high tech always the best? And
Bernie
we were joined
Ellis.
By Bernie Elvis.
Right.
Ellis.
Not
sorry.
Elvis.
Sorry, Elvis.
Bernie Ellis.
Okay. Can he sing like Elvis? I don't know.
He may be able to.
Okay. And the point is, you know, we talked about this before. Mm-hmm. We talked with guests at Radio Sandy Springs about the fact that, you know, these voting machines, that is maybe not the best use of technology.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then, of course, October 22nd.
I think the other thing there was that sometimes low tech is better.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it's not always higher tech. Exactly. It's not always the best way to solve something.
And that just hurts me inside, Bill.
Baby, you're a big fan of science. But this is something we have to learn, right? So, so you're an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Scientists and engineers, we like our ideas just because they're cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, frankly, we're scientists and engineers, we're not all that different. And I think Trent can back me up on this because he's a computer scientist. Well, because he programs, right? He's actually a discrete mathematician, which means he does mathematics behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
We're not all that different than the guys that go to Dragon Con here in Atlanta, right? I mean, you got a lot of geeks. Many of them think they're Darth Vader. The only difference is the Dragon Con guys actually wear the costume. So... we like our high-tech ideas. When someone says, look, it's not practical and it's not economically feasible, we have to admit and say... Okay,
yeah, low-tech may well be better.
Yeah, paper. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Paper was an advanced technology at one point.
At one point.
Then we had Willie Belton on Science and Your Money, who explained what commercial paper was.
Yeah, it was really good.
That was actually a very useful show.
Right.
Next, we did a second show on women engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy Cock from... what is she from? Don't tell
Chicken
me.
Chicken Town.
No, she is from, I'm losing it, the company that makes diapers.
Kimberly Clark.
Right. Kimberly Clark Corporation.
She is
actually the president of
Baby New Year's
the
a
society.
Big fan of the diaper company.
I think Grandfather Time is, too.
Okay, right.
I use it every morning. Sometimes it ain't always brown.
Okay. But it's but you call his depends, right? You ever notice that trend?
Right.
Okay, this is a joke.
Yeah.
I heard on XM Radio, but I love it anyway. And, and this is a good comment for our year and show. What do they call kids diapers? You know,
Huggies, Pampers,
right?
Right.
Because if a kid goes in his pants, you
still
love him, right? You still want to give him a hug. Old guy goes in his pants, do you still love him? Depends. And that was not a commercial call to action by mentioning the brand name of the diaper. Come on, that was just
it was a joke.
Okay,
if you actually use it for your own use, though, that would be.
But but Wendy talked about some recent studies done by the Society of Women Engineers, pointing out trends in women in engineering, and apparently it's not good in electrical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Next was our units everywhere show.
Mm-hmm.
Probably that was one of the best shows we ever did.
I think so.
We just talked about units, right? Did we get any callers?
I think we did.
Did we get a caller?
We did.
And my favorite units, Siemens.
Yeah, you did talk about that, right? Which is a unit of electrical conductivity.
Correct.
Right. You actually prefer the Mo.
As
opposed to the Curly
or
the Larry. Or
the Larry, yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy conducting my electricity.
Okay, again,
don't
I
don't we all moment. Father Time, don't we all?
I'm shocked into disbelief about that.
Yeah.
Okay, next, Wednesday, November 12th. Oh, don't worry, ladies and gentlemen, we're almost near the end.
Yes.
Okay.
Running out of time.
The Science of Music, right, where you actually talked about your activities here at Georgia Tech.
Center for Music Technology. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Next, we talk with Charlie Bennett about libraries in the 21st century and how things are much more electronic than they used to be.
Right.
Then we talked about analytical chemistry and the sort of things you see on CSI, the TV show with Larry Bottomley from the School of Chemistry. Next, following the sweat, using MRI technology to look at how these new wicking materials in athletic clothing work with Haskell Beckham. Just a couple weeks ago, Mark Perlow, medical director of Georgia Reproductive Specialists, talked to us about making high-tech babies. And then we took a two-week break until now.
And we're here.
The pinnacle of 2008.
Right. And we're looking forward to a great 2009.
Yeah, we hope so.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, our next show will be Dan Radakovich.
I'm kind of glad to get rid of the old man. It's
Right.
I ain't going to die on your boy. You're going to die at the end of next year, and I'm going to have to get me another baby.
And they'll both be recycled into biodiesel.
Yes, they will.
All right, so we need to wrap things up. What did we learn today, other than the fact that it was a topsy-turvy year here at Inside the Black Box?
Well, the future looks bright. And the last year is just senile as, man, I don't know what's going on with last year, but I'm ready to, midnight will not come too soon.
All right. So hopefully, ladies and gentlemen, you will join us next week when we've got Dan Radakovich and Stephanie England talking about sports and science and technology, and we'll hopefully follow that up with a few shows on biotechnology and actually, an interesting issue in physics. Mm-hmm. The Bose-Einstein condensate, which should be a riveting show.
Yeah.
Any other final comments about 2008? All right.
Well, we need to get rid of the senile guys.
Again, Baby New Year picking on the diaper choice of...
I'm going to strangle you with a diaper.
Okay, I think we can just fade away here.
On that, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us today and for the entire 2008 year here on Inside the Black Box, and hopefully you'll join us again in 2009.
I certainly hope so.
I think that's all I got to say. Thanks for joining us here on Inside the Black Box, a production of WREK Atlanta.
Happy New Year.